There is a moment after chaos has passed when power feels almost weightless. The borders are quieter, the streets are calmer, institutions that once staggered now move in rhythm. Laws are enforced, administration functions, decisions are made and carried out without hesitation. Napoleon Bonaparte sits at the center of his calm. From the outside, Napoleon looks like the rare leader who has mastered complexity. The man who arrived in chaos and produced coherence. The general who understands both force and governance. The figure who made the system work again. Inside that success, something quieter is forming. Each correct decision strengthens the belief that the next one will be the same. Each success reinforces a sense of clarity. The world begins to look simpler than it once did.
Welcome to the Members in the Room podcast, where we share real-life stories about leadership and their underlying human behavior rooted in science and research. We unpack and interpret the evolutionary forces behind it to help you to better lead your people for outstanding business results.
Welcome back to the Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time, using history and neuroscience to explain the human behavior behind pivotal decisions, because those same patterns still shape how leaders and teams succeed or fail in organizations today. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. What we are covering today might seem less dramatic, because it's not about big military campaigns. But make no mistake, we will talk about the most dangerous faces of leadership, about what repeated wins do to perception, about how confidence once earned begins to replace curiosity, about how leaders stop testing their assumptions, not because they're careless, but because the world keeps confirming them. Napoleon does not feel reckless. He feels precise, decisive, proven. The chaos that once demanded caution has receded. And in its place stands a sense of inevitability, that his way is not just effective, but correct. This is what makes the moment dangerous. Sustained success narrows perception. Neural reward reinforcement compresses uncertainty, making prior victories feel predictive rather than contextual. And that is exactly when perception begins to drift. Not away from reality all at once, but away from its edges, from uncertainty, from contradiction, from limits. The danger is no longer external. It shifted towards internal, into the mind of Napoleon and the people around him. Once order is restored, legitimacy is often preserved through compliance rather than evaluation. Groups seek continuity under authority. And as dominance stabilizes, dissent carries increasing social costs. Feedback systems adapt to power, not truth. After rising to power by the coup of Brumaire in 1799 and ending the French Revolution, Napoleon Bonaparte was proclaimed emperor on 18th of May 1804 by the Senate, and he crowned himself as Emperor of the French on December 2nd, 1804. At the Cathedral of Notre-Dame de Paris with the crown of Napoleon. You'll notice something important as we move forward. We're entering the phase where power becomes convincing because it isn't challenged anymore, where decisions feel obvious, where alternatives feel unnecessary, where doubt begins to look like weakness. All of these, let's call it symptoms, appear when power feels effortless and success does something subtle to leaders. In the years following Brumaire, Napoleon's record continues to validate him. Military campaigns succeed. Austerlitz, 1805, Jena, 1806, Wagram, 1809. Administrative reforms hold. Legal structures take shape and function. The state delivers results. And those results are repeatedly traced back to a single source, his judgment. From a neuroscientific perspective, this is not arrogance, at least not at the beginning. It is reinforcement. Success activates reward system that strengthen the neural pathways associated with the decisions that preceded it. The brain becomes efficient, favoring what has worked before, filtering out signals that introduce friction or doubt. Feedback quietly changes its role. Napoleon doesn't stop receiving information. He receives different information differently. Signals that align with success move quickly. Reports that complicate the picture arrive later, softened, contextualized, or reframed as exceptions. This is how confirmation replaces feedback. Complex situations are increasingly interpreted through familiar templates. Enemies are assessed by comparison to past opponents. Logistics, terrain, and political context are assumed to behave as they always have. Decisions come faster. Confidence grows more assured. The absence of friction is interpreted as alignment. The system seems to confirm his instincts before he even acts. And here is a familiar pattern. When authority becomes centralized, leaders experience isolation not as loneliness, but as clarity, until reality intrudes. And it always does. From the outside, this looks like mastery, but the world hasn't become simpler. It only appears that way. As success accumulates, something else begins to change, not in Napoleon himself at first, but around him. Similar to the information flow, also advice changes its role. Advice that aligns with Napoleon's expectations move quickly. It is received, acknowledged, acted upon. Advice that complicates decisions arrives cautiously, framed carefully, hedged with deference, softened by reassurance. This is not the result of explicit instruction. Napoleon does not ask for obedience. No one is told to stop disagreeing. It's just that over time, dissent starts to disappear by itself because as confidence solidifies at the top, alternative perspectives begin to feel less necessary. Debate slows decision-making. Challenge introduces friction. In a system that prizes efficiency and results, friction looks like failure. Trusted voices are elevated. Familiar advisors gain influence. Outsiders, skeptics, and cautious analysts lose proximity. Not because they are wrong, but because they are inconvenient. The system adapts to success by reducing internal resistance. And that adaptation feels efficient. From the outside, Napoleon appears decisive and focused. From the inside, the world feels increasingly coherent. Fewer contradictions, fewer uncertainties, fewer reasons to hesitate. Everything becomes more manageable. It's kind of an unjustified simplification of reality when the world becomes predictable. What worked before is assumed to work again. Enemies are categorized quickly. Situations feel familiar before they're even fully understood. Uncertainty is reduced before it reaches the center. Complexity is translated into summaries that fit the prevailing narrative. Yes, they had executive summaries already back then, when no one reads the details. From the inside, it feels like inevitability. Why question what keeps working? Why complicate what appears consistent? The problem is not that decisions can potentially be wrong. The problem is that no one is any longer checking. And something else, deeper, begins to shift. Repeated victories don't just validate strategy. They validate identity. Over time, success stops feeling like an outcome and starts feeling like a reflection of who the leader is. This is where moral reasoning subtly expands. Napoleon does not see himself as abandoning restraint. He sees himself as protecting what works. Napoleon's authority now rests on more than power or competence. It rests on a sense of moral inevitability. The line between leadership and righteousness blurs, supported by the long history of being right. From a cognitive perspective, this is where overconfidence quietly takes hold. The brain, conditioned by repeated success, begins to discount negative feedback. Warnings are reinterpreted in ways that protect the leader's self-image and prior decisions. He reframes them. The system reinforces this process. Subordinates, sensing what resonates, adjust their messaging. Uncertainty is minimized, complexity is translated into confidence. Reports emphasize solutions rather than problems. By the time information reaches the center, it had already been filtered. This works until it doesn't. Because environments change faster than perception. Conditions shift before patterns are recognized. By the time contradictions become undeniable, options have narrowed. What makes this phase of Napoleon's story so compelling is not that anything has collapsed. Nothing has. But beneath that surface, something essential has shifted. The very traits that allowed a leader to rise, confidence, decisiveness, belief in one's judgment, begin to distort perception once they are no longer corrected by resistance. Power doesn't corrupt overnight. It convinces gradually. It feels like clarity. The system is aligned. The leader is proven. The past keeps validating the present. But history is unforgiving to leaders who mistake momentum for permanence. And how unforgiving history can be, we'll encounter next time when Napoleon and his troops learn a thing or two about the Russian winter. All right, this was it for today. If this episode resonated with you, whether as a leader, a student of history, or someone curious about why power unfolds the way it does, please subscribe, rate, and share with someone in your network who would be appreciative of this kind of perspective. And a quick note before we close, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is very soon launching its online leadership academy. It's packed with insights, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. And lastly, if you want more, you can order my book. It shares the title of this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical roadmap showing how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding results. And it does that across 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.